Good morning. Thank you for tuning in for our message today. This is part five of a series that we've been doing called A Royal Priesthood. And this morning we're going to be talking about a priestly attitude, having a priestly attitude. And so I want to read this quote to you this morning from Oswald Chambers. And Oswald Chambers said this: "By what right have we become a royal priesthood? It is by the right of the atonement, by the cross of Christ, that this has been accomplished." You know, I love that. That's from his little devotion, "My Utmost for His Highest," a fantastic devotional. But he said, by what right have we become a royal priesthood? By what right do we have to say that we are part of the priesthood of God, a royal priesthood? And he says, it's because of what Jesus has done on the cross that we get to be priests. And we have to remember that. And if we remember, it's because of what Jesus has done. It stirs up a humility in us so that we always remember, we know we are part of the priesthood, God's kingdom of priests, because of what Jesus has done. And it gives us reason to rejoice and to celebrate the cross and what the Lord has done for us, what Jesus has done to make us clean, to make us holy, to give us His Spirit, and to be able to serve God as a royal priesthood. And so we celebrate Jesus and His work for us on that cross this morning. We just corporately thank Him that He's made us a kingdom of priests. And this should stir up a deep humility in our souls. Jesus is the reason that we can lead. Jesus is the reason that we can serve. It's not because of our family history or because of our religious accomplishments. It's not our years of service in ministry or our gifts or our abilities, but it's the grace of God. It's by the grace of God that we get to serve, that we get to be called priests in the kingdom. And so we thank Jesus that we can serve. And it's because of Him and because He subjected Himself to death on our behalf that we get to have meaning and purpose in our lives as God's servants, as God's priests. It's an amazing honor to serve the Lord Jesus. You know, Philippians 2 verse 5 says this: "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had." You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. It's a calling from God to get our attitudes right before we minister, to be filled with that same attitude that Jesus had. And of course, that attitude was the attitude of humility. You know, 1 Peter 3:8 says this: "Finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathizing with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude." You know, we're called to carry this attitude of humility. Scripture tells us that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's 1 Peter 5:5. You know, the high priest, Annas and Caiaphas, you know, they didn't show this mark of humility. And it was really their downfall as leaders. And in Mark chapter 14, you can hear a little of their blunders as they attack the Son of God. In Mark 14, verses 53 through 65, we find these words: "They took Jesus to the high priest's home, where the leading priests, the elders, and the teachers of the religious law had gathered. And meanwhile, Peter followed him at a distance and went right into the high priest's courtyard. And there he sat with the guards, warming himself by the fire. Inside, the leading priest and the entire high council were trying to find evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they couldn't find any. Many false witnesses spoke against him, but they contradicted each other. Finally, some men stood up and gave this false testimony: 'We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days I'll build another made without human hands.' But even then, they didn't get their story straight. Then the high priest stood up before the others and asked Jesus, 'Well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself? But Jesus was silent and made no reply. And then the high priest asked him, Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? And Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven. And then the high priest tore his clothing to show his horror and said, Why do we need any other witnesses? You have all heard this blasphemy, his blasphemy. What is your verdict? Guilty, they cried. He deserves to die. Then some of them began to spit at him, and they blindfolded him, and they beat him with their fists. Prophesy to us, they jeered. And the guards slapped him as they took him away. Now, these are priests. And I've been told that you can learn as much from a bad leader as you can from a good leader. And we can learn from these priests a lot. This is not the way to lead in God's kingdom. This is not the way of the royal priesthood. This is not marked with humility. This is marked with pride. And so we see in this story, we can learn so much from these bad leaders, the mistakes not to make, and we can be formed spiritually and know that we need to walk in humility and love. And so Annas and Caiaphas, they show that they're about as spiritually discerning as a brick. You know, they have God in front of them, God in the flesh. You know, the second member of the Trinity right in front of them. And they're assaulting him, and these priests have met together because they want to kill him. And they have no discernment. They don't realize this is God. And so we need to be discerning as priests. We need to have discernment, and we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And here we find priests with a poisonous priestly attitude. Their attitude is this. Self-serving, unjust, built upon lies. Their priestly attitude is built upon lies and jealousy. And this is not the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. You know, this attitude continued on to the book of Acts and their assault on the early church and the early church leaders. In Acts 5:17, we see the high priest opposing the apostles. And it says this in Acts 5:17, the high priest and his officials who were Sadducees were filled with jealousy, and they arrested the apostles. And so we can learn as much from a bad leader as we can from a good one. This is not the right attitude to have as priests. And so I'm praying for each of us as we are the priesthood, as we are walking out the truth of the priesthood of all believers, that we wouldn't be as these priests, but we would be as the priesthood of all believers. We would be filled with the attitude that was in Christ Jesus, that would be filled with humility, that we would be marked with the attitude from heaven that was on our Lord Jesus. And so I want us to think about how important discernment is, how important guidance is, how important it is to see things the way God sees them. And Jesus did this very thing, and he shows us the way forward as priest. He was the real high priest. And so Jesus was always in tune with his Father, and he invites us to be in tune with the Father. Jesus made statements like this, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only do what I see my Father doing. Contrast that to the priest who persecuted Jesus, and they had no idea what the Father was doing. And so Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. And Jesus said things like this, we need eyes to see and ears to hear. He said that so often, just for everywhere he preached, everywhere he taught, he was encouraging people, have eyes to see and ears to hear. You need to see things rightly. You need to see things the way God sees them. You need to have a perspective, you know, a perspective that's wrought in heaven, a perspective to see things the way that God sees them. And this is what was so powerful about the ministry of Jesus. He was always in tune with the Father. You know, there are many attitudes available to us But we've got to make the right choice. We have to see things the way they are. We have to hear things the way that they really are. And so many attitudes are available to us, but which ones will we choose? And so there are negative attitudes, an attitude of entitlement, an attitude of complaining, an attitude of jealousy, an attitude that's greedy or covetous, you know, an attitude that's critical, a critical spirit, a doubting attitude, you know, a rebellious attitude. Those are all negative attitudes that will just destroy our priesthood. But if we want to be a part of God's royal priesthood, we need to choose the right attitude. And I want you to think of these attitudes, an attitude of thankfulness. You know, an attitude of contentment, an attitude of love, an attitude of faith, an attitude of submission and quick obedience, a peaceful attitude, a hope-filled attitude. That's what we need, and that's what the world needs us to be in this time, to have that attitude that was in Christ Jesus. And so I'm praying and I'm asking God for that same attitude that was in Christ Jesus to be in me, and that same attitude that was in Christ Jesus to be in you today. You know, we need that attitude that's honoring and respectful and shows honor to God. You know, our attitudes are so important. The missionary Elizabeth Elliot, she said this, spiritual strongholds begin with a thought. One thought becomes a consideration. A consideration develops into an attitude, which leads to action. Action repeated becomes a habit, and a habit establishes a power base for the enemy. That is a stronghold. And what powerful words from Elizabeth Elliot. She shows us the pathway to a stronghold for the enemy being developed in our thoughts. It begins with a thought, a consideration. It turns into an attitude towards into an action that could lead into a stronghold. And the Lord Jesus can set us free from those strongholds. But I want to say to you, a good thought, a good consideration, a good attitude, you know, a good action can turn into a stronghold for God. It can turn into a very powerful thing for God. God can use a good attitude. God can do wonders through an attitude that's been formed and shaped by the Word. God can do incredible things through people who align their attitudes with Jesus' attitude. It's earth-shaking. And it can do incredible things. It could become a stronghold. It's such a powerful place for God to move and for God to act if we could align our attitudes with that of Jesus. And so that's my prayer for us as a church, that our attitude would be aligned with Jesus, that we would get the attitude that's in Christ Jesus. You know, 1 Peter 4:1 says this, "So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude. Arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer. Be ready to suffer too, for if you've suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin." And again, have this attitude to follow God, even when times are tough, to follow God. You know, I want to read to you a little bit more from those priests who did it the wrong way, so we can do it the right way. But in John chapter 11, we find this story, and it says these leading priests are plotting to kill Jesus. They're plotting to murder him. And Caiaphas, it says this in John 11, 49 through 52. Caiaphas, who was high priest at that time, said, "You don't know what you're talking about. You don't realize that it's better for you that one man should die for the people than for the whole nation to be destroyed." He did not say this on his own as high priest at that time. He was led to prophesy that Jesus would die for the entire nation, and not only for that nation, but to bring together and unite all the children of God scattered around the world. And here's Caiaphas, they're making plans, these priests are making plans to murder Jesus. And he's saying, no, be quiet, you don't understand. It's prudent that one person should die for the whole nation, to save the nation. And he didn't realize that God was using him to prophesy in spite of himself. God prophesied through Caiaphas, who was an evil man, and he used him in spite of himself to prophesy God's plan that one would die for all. That one would give his life to save a whole group of people. And it's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus gave his life that we would be saved, that we can be saved. Yeah, the scriptures tell us, to as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God. And so Caiaphas, this evil man, he prophesied the way of salvation. You know, Hebrews 2:17 says this, therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could become our merciful and faithful high priest before God. And then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. It's exactly what Jesus did. He lived a sinless, spotless life and died in our place so that we could receive forgiveness, so that we could receive salvation. You know, Hebrews 4:15 says this, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. And so that scripture continues to come boldly to the throne of grace. This high priest understands our weaknesses. Jesus understands what it's like to be human. Our God understands us. He understands our weaknesses, and he faced all the same testings and temptations that we did, yet he didn't sin. And he lived a perfect, sinless life so that he could die for us and take our sins upon himself and set us free and give us his purity. And so, the Bible tells us again, you know, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And I want to invite you to receive him today. Just as John chapter 1 tells us to do, to receive Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. You know, don't we know within ourselves that this incredible story that God would become man, that he would live a perfect life, and that he would give himself to pay the penalty of our debt. And that all we need to do to receive his life is to ask him to come and to fill us and to come and take the place of the throne in each of our lives. It doesn't, don't we all know deep within us that we need to do something with that truth? It's the greatest truth in all the world. Don't we all know we need to do something with that truth? And scripture would tell us what we need to do is pray. John Wesley said that God does nothing but by prayer. So we all know we need to pray. We need, which is just speaking with God and just saying, Lord, I receive you and I receive your offer. And I ask for your forgiveness. And I pray that you would wash me clean and fill me with your spirit and lead me forward, lead me home. And so if you'd like to do that, it's important, it's huge, it's the greatest decision of this life. And if you'd like to do that, I'd love to lead you in that prayer right now. Just pray with me in the privacy of your own heart. The Lord can see right into the privacy of the core of your being. He can see right into that space. Just pray with me in sincerity right now. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would forgive me of my sins. I believe in you. I receive you. Wash me, cleanse me, fill me with your Spirit. I want to follow you. Lead me on. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer, you're a new creation. I just encourage you, if you prayed that prayer, you're a new creation. Let another believer know who can encourage you. You can email me, tim@hopespringsonline.com. I would love to encourage you and to send you some scripture and encouragement to encourage you on your journey with God. I challenge you, just begin to read the book of John and read it once and read it again. God will speak to you. He'll meet you in his word. And I'm praying for you and praying for each of you. And in closing, I'd like to say this to all of you. Ephesians 4:23 says this: instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. I love that. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Don't let this just be another sermon. Now let this time be an invitation between you and God to say, Holy Spirit, come into my life. I know I have these attitudes that maybe have even become strongholds in the way that I view the world and the way that I live. And let this time be an invitation where you invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. I don't want to live in these attitudes any longer. Break these strongholds. Holy Spirit, come. Give me new attitudes, the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Teach me how to walk in those attitudes. Change my life. And it can be changed if you invite the Holy Spirit in and invite him to teach you how to think. Your transformation begins with a thought. You know, it begins with a thought. It can turn into an attitude, and it can turn into actions that completely revolutionize your life. And so don't let this be another sermon, but really seek God's face now and say, God, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you come and go to work on my attitudes and transform my attitude? Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And so let's pray. Lord, I just praise you. I love you. I thank you for the church, God. I thank you for Hope Springs. I pray for every child, every person, every adult, young and old, every person, God, that you would come and move in their heart, move in their home, revive them, refresh them. We pray for the attitude that was in Christ Jesus to be in us. Lord Jesus, we pray for the renewal of our minds, the transformation of our minds, and let us walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, guided by you, God. And let us only do what we see the Father doing. We pray in Jesus' name. And I want to encourage you, we're going to be meeting together soon. We're prayerfully considering June 7th as our restart date. We're going to continue to pray and just seek the Lord's guidance on that. And when we make that decision, you'll see it on our website. You'll see it on our Facebook page. We'll make sure you're aware. Our plan at this time is to go to 3 services. We're most likely going to have a 9:15 a.m. service, an 11:15 a.m. service, and a 2 p.m. service. The message will be identical at all 3 services, but we'll have different pockets of people at each one, where our goal is to keep the meeting sizes under 35 people, or keep the meeting sizes small, you know, at these various services if we can, just to help protect people in this time until we know more. So that's our plan for the month of June, beginning June 7th, a 9:15, an 11:15, and a 2 p.m. And there'll be different leaders helping at each service. And just pray, consider, just prayerfully seek the Lord which service you'd like to be a part of. Again, they'll be identical, but we want to keep meeting sizes small to help protect families and protect individuals. So God bless you. The Lord's for you. And we'll have more information soon and on our website and Facebook page. Also, there are Bible studies on the Facebook page that we've been putting up weekly. I know those of you who aren't on Facebook, maybe we can find a different way to get those to you, but there are Bible studies going up. So God bless you. We love you. We're praying for you. And we'll see you soon. Thank you.